Okay, let's take our Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Basing it upon R.A. Torrey's book entitled How to Pray. And some of you have that book and are reading it. How many think they had a chance to read chapter 5? It was only about three pages. Okay, good. One, two, three, four. Amen. Okay, four or five of you read that to get ready for tonight's message. And I'll tell you, this particular concept is one that is lost upon many in fundamental Baptist circles. And I'll tell you why it got lost. In the 1970s, the charismatic movement especially snowballed. And in the charismatic movement, there was a lot of abuses about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And fundamental Baptists like us, we saw those abuses, and we saw that they were not interpreting the Bible right when it came to the Holy Spirit. And we said, you know what? We are going to take a stand against that kind of teaching. We're not going to be a part of the charismatic movement because of the incorrect teaching, especially about the Holy Spirit. Well, what happened then in the 70s is fundamentalists, so they wouldn't be thought of as charismatic, they didn't even want to talk about the Spirit. I remember I grew up in a good church like this one, and I remember the music director saying there was a certain song about the Holy Spirit that we couldn't sing. Not that the song itself was wrong or bad, but he said, it's just because those charismatics always talk about the Spirit, so we don't want to be emphasizing the Spirit too much. And I thought, okay. I just accepted what they said. Well, as I got a little bit older and learned some things in Bible doctrines about the Holy Spirit, I realized that if we shy away from the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, we're missing out on one-third of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. And just like we wouldn't want to cut Jesus Christ out of our Christianity, we don't want to cut the Holy Spirit out of our Christianity. Now, if others are abusing the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, fine, we can have no part with that abuse. But that doesn't mean we can't teach the truth about the Holy Spirit, right? And so, this particular lesson is called Praying in the Spirit. And let me show you that it is scriptural to pray in the Spirit. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 18. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now here we see a tremendous verse about prayer. You could preach five or six sermons from this verse, but praying always with all prayer and supplication, and then there it is, in the Spirit. We're supposed to pray in the Spirit. Well, what does that mean? How can we pray in the Spirit unless we know what it means to pray in the Spirit? Let me show you another verse. Turn to the very end of your Bible, just before Revelation, is the little book of Jude. Jude has just one chapter. So we don't usually say chapter 1, we just say the verse, Jude 20. Jude 20. All right, have you found that? Jude 20, just before the book of Revelation at the end of your Bible. All right, Jude 20 says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. There it is again. We're supposed to pray in the Holy Ghost, or pray in the Holy Spirit. Now, for our new folks, let me explain. The term Holy Ghost, term Holy Spirit, are both Bible terms. We just read in Ephesians 6, it calls them the Spirit. And then we read in Jude, it calls them the Holy Ghost. So both terms are acceptable. They're both in the Bible. They mean the same thing. A lot of times in our fundamental Baptist churches, we'll use the term Holy Spirit because to somebody who doesn't know the Bible, when you say ghost, what do they think of? Ooh, you know, spooky. Or they think of Casper the Friendly Ghost running around with a sheet on his head or something. So that's why we often call him the Holy Spirit, but it's fine to call him the Holy Ghost because the Bible does as well. All right, so here we're supposed to pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, I think, first of all, it means depending upon the Holy Spirit in prayer. Depending upon the Holy Spirit, upon the Holy Spirit in prayer. One of the quotations from Turi's book said, "It is the prayer that God the Holy Spirit inspires that God the Father answers." The prayer that God the Holy Spirit inspires is the prayer that God the Father answers. Now that word inspires, Turi's not talking about inspiration like the Bible is the inspired Word of God. He's talking about our modern use of the word inspiration. When you read inspiration in the Bible, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration means God breathed, inspire. It's God breathed. In the Greek, it's theopneustos. Okay, God breathed. He breathed out the very words of this book. That's why we say the Bible is God's Word. That's why we could say, I hold the Word of God in my hand, and it's precious, it's special, because He breathed out the very words. He told His people exactly what words to write. So He says, well, is that dictation? If you want to call it that, that's fine, okay? That's fine. Now, He did use dictation in regards to their own personal vocabulary. So when you read the part that the Holy Spirit told Paul to write, it sounds like Paul. And when you read the part that the Holy Spirit told Moses to write, it sounds like Moses. After a while, you can get used to their styles, because God raised up those men and gave them all the training and all the vocabulary they would need, so when He inspired the Scripture, they would be able to use their own vocabulary and it would still be the very words of God. So don't let that throw you off. Somebody will say, well, it's obviously not inspired of God because you could tell if Paul's writing it. Or no, it's still God's Word. It's inspired of God. Well, when we use the word inspired, nowadays, we're not talking about God breathing. We're talking about, a songwriter gets inspired to write a song. Well, we don't mean that God gave him the very words to that song. Matter of fact, if a guy says that, if he says, God gave me the very words for this song, then they're adding to the Word of God. And in Revelation, God said, I'm not going to add any more words to this book. I've given all the words I'm going to give. And if anybody adds to this book, God will add unto them the curses that are in this book. So it's a pretty stiff warning there. So we should be careful about saying, God gave me these very words. But it wouldn't be wrong to say that God inspired me, not in the God-breathed sense, but in the sense of a poet writing a poem, or, I was really moved by a particular sermon, and so I wrote this song. Okay, well, that kind of inspiration is okay. God can inspire people. And the Holy Spirit can inspire us in that way about things we ought to pray about. He can lay things on our heart and say, you know what? You haven't been asking for this and you need to. A good example of that is our missionary Earl Jessup. Okay, many of you know we've been praying for him with cancer. And his last newsletter, I read it, I think, to you on Wednesday night. But he said that he got convicted by God's Spirit that he was praying for grace about his cancer. He's saying, oh, Lord, give me the grace to go through this. Help me not to complain. Help me not to have a bad attitude about it. And then he got convicted that he wasn't asking to be healed. And he said, you know what? I think the Lord wants me to ask for healing. Not just so I can live longer, because He's given me a total contentment. Earl Jessup said, I'm willing to go or I'm willing to stay, whatever the Lord wants. But I think He wants me to pray for healing, because if He'll heal me, it'll get great glory to God's name. People say, wow, the doctor will say, wow, look at this. This is amazing. We thought you had no chance, and look at this. So he decided that he needed to start praying for healing because God's Holy Spirit inspired him to pray that way. Now, if he's right about that, then one of two things are going to happen. God's going to answer, and he's going to be healed. Or God's going to work through him praying that prayer to build him and to help him in such a way. You know, sometimes when we pray different things, it's not only the answer to prayer that is the goal, but it's also what the Lord does in our hearts. Did you ever have something that you prayed for and you wanted it so bad, and you really believed it was God's will, and you prayed and you prayed and you prayed, and then the answer didn't come right away, and so you start thinking, Lord, is there something wrong? Because you said that if I prayed, you'd answer. is there something between you and me? And then the Lord brings it to your mind. Oh yeah, I forgot about that. I got to get right with you about that, Lord. And you see, the Lord uses prayer to help us get right with Him and help us search our hearts and know if things are good between us and God. But the Holy Spirit can definitely inspire. I believe that's what happened to Earl Jessup. I think God's Holy Spirit laid on his heart, hey, you need to start praying about this. And let's pray with him and see what God will do. So it is the prayer that God's Holy Spirit inspires that God the Father answers. We do not know how we ought to pray without the Lord teaching us. The disciples said in Luke 11:1, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. That was a pretty smart thing for them to ask. And we ought to say that. You know, sometimes we just rush into God's presence with these requests. We ought to say, Lord, help us to know how we ought to pray today. Teach us to pray. What things ought we ask for? Romans 8:26 has come up a couple times in the last couple weeks. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So God's Holy Spirit comes and says, here is how you should pray. Here's what you should ask for. And we need to ask the Lord to keep us in tune with the leading of the Spirit. Now, you're not going to hear verbal sounds. You're not going to hear, you know, God's Holy Spirit saying, pray for this. Okay? Because God's Word's complete. He's not going to add any verbal words. But He can lead us in our hearts. Romans 8:14 said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now again, fundamental Baptists shied away from this for a couple years because we had charismatics saying, God told me to build this hospital. And God told me to... It was funny, the guy was a faith healer and he said the Lord gave him power to heal people. Then why did he have to build a hospital? I could never figure that out, you know. It just never made sense to me. But you know, to say that God told me verbally to build a hospital, that's not going to be right, okay? But that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit can't lead us. And we should be sensitive and open to His leading. True prayer is the prayer that the Spirit inspires and directs. And that's an important concept. Okay, if you're taking notes on your sheet there, letter A, depending on the Spirit requires acknowledging our infirmity. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. So if you say, okay, Pastor Needler, this is kind of deep. How do I pray in the Spirit? Well, the first thing you do is you acknowledge your infirmity. A lot of times when we start to pray, it's a good thing to say, now, Lord, we admit we don't really know what to pray about this. Now, if it's praying for somebody to be saved, we know what to pray about that, because He wills that none perish but all come to repentance. Sometimes when we're praying for physical healing, we don't always know God's plan. So we should come to Him and say, Lord, we acknowledge our infirmity. We do not know what we should pray for sure. Would You direct us during this prayer time? Would You help us to know? Would You help us be in tune with You? Would You lead our thoughts? Would You guide our hearts and help us to know what we should ask? And acknowledging our infirmity is the first way to depend upon the Spirit. Sometimes when we don't feel like praying, we should just admit that before God. Some people, when they get down or something, they say, I just don't feel like praying. I just can't pray. Well, you know what a good thing to do? Is tell the Lord that. Well, that would be prayer. Yeah. Yeah, it would be prayer because you're talking to God. But you say, you know, I sat down to pray for my family and I'm just really upset about things. I just don't feel like praying. Well, talk to the Lord about that. Say, Lord, my heart's wrought up right now. I feel like my prayers aren't going to get above the ceiling. I got mad at my family today and this happened today and I'm just grumpy. And Lord, I just don't feel like I can pray right now. Would You help me? A lot of the Psalms, when you read Psalms, David starts out saying, I'm having trouble. I'm having problems. Lord, where are You? And then by the time you get to the end of the Psalm, he's saying, You're my rock, You're my strength. And the Lord has met his need and turned things around. But we've got to acknowledge our infirmity. Okay, then letter B, depending on the Spirit requires time. It requires time. Some Christians never get the concept of praying in the Spirit because we don't take the time to just sit quietly before the Lord and let Him speak to our hearts. It takes time. You say, well, you know, I have my time with the Lord every day, and I read my Bible, read a chapter in the Bible, takes about 3 minutes, and then I bow my head and pray, takes about 1 minute, and then I'm out the door. Well, okay, at least you spend time with God. That's a good thing. But it takes time for God's Spirit to get through our hard hearts. At least it does for me. I find sometimes that I've sat there and just tried to talk to the Lord, read my Bible some, let Him talk to me, and, you know, after a few minutes, my heart still is cold. It takes a while to get the communication lines warmed up, to confess our sin, to make sure we're right with Him, make sure that there's nothing blocking our relationship. It takes time. Tori said, nothing can be more foolish in prayer than to rush heedlessly into God's presence and ask the first thing that comes to mind, or that some thoughtless friend has asked us to pray for. When we first come into God's presence, we should be silent before Him. We should look up to Him and to send His Holy Spirit to teach us how to pray. We must wait for the Holy Spirit and surrender ourselves to the Spirit, and then we will pray aright. Couldn't say it better than that, right? It's something that you could start practicing in your prayer times right now. If you're a teenager, if you're a kid, if you're an adult, if you've been saved a long time or saved a short time, there's no reason that you can't start practicing that right now. If you're saved, you've got God's Holy Spirit indwelling you. And you could say, Spirit, guide me now. I want to pray in the Spirit today. It'll transform your prayer time. So, praying in the Spirit means depending on Him in prayer. And then secondly, I think praying in the Spirit means praying with faith. Praying with faith. Let's all turn to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Here's a powerful prayer promise in Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. I remember hearing some preaching on a prayer promise like this one. This kind of promise is a couple places in the Bible. And I don't remember if it was from Mark 11 or from another spot. But I remember as a kid, I thought, okay, I just got to believe that I'll have it, and then I'll have it. And I don't remember what I prayed for, but something, you know, Lord, give me an ice cream cone. I know you're going to give it to me, Lord. I know I'm going to get an ice cream cone today. Lord, give me an ice cream cone. You know, and if I just believe it, then I'm going to get it. Is that what that means? When you first read it, you might think that. It says, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. This is a positive prayer promise, but how can we have confidence that the promise is for us? Let me show you another one and then I'll answer that question. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. The book of James was the book of emphasis for the teenagers at camp last week. And so they'll be familiar with this. James chapter 1. And let's start in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You see, here again we have a positive prayer promise. He says, if you lack wisdom, you ask God. He won't upbraid you. He won't say, hey, why are you asking me for wisdom again? Quit bugging me. He's not going to do that. He'll give liberally, that means generously. He'll give generously that wisdom that you ask. But then verse 6 says, but you've got to ask in faith, nothing wavering. Okay, we've got to believe that He's going to fulfill that promise. If we ask in a wavering way, it says, let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. So if we ask and we don't really believe that God's going to do it, then we're not going to receive. All right. So, Pastor Nieder, what does that mean? Does that mean I just have to, you know, work up this belief? How can we get that confidence, that faith that God's going to answer that prayer? Well, first of all, it cannot be pumped up. It's not like you just, okay, I'm going to believe. Here we go. All right, I'm believing, Lord, I'm believing. You know, and you grit your teeth and you squeeze your hands real hard. I don't know what you do, but no, that's not what we're talking about here. It's not a faith that is worked up as an effort of our own will. We are so self-willed sometimes. It's not an effort of our own will. Some people have done this. They've made themselves to believe that something was going to happen. And then when the prayer wasn't answered, guess what? They're mad at God. And their faith in God and their faith in prayer gets shaken. I really believed that God was going to do it, and then He didn't do it. Yeah, you just kind of pumped up that belief on your own. And that's not the right way to do it. All right, how do we get the belief then? Belief comes from the Word of God. All right, turn with me to Romans chapter 10. This verse actually came up in Sunday school today in the New Believers class. Let's look at it again. A great concept here. How do we have the faith to believe that God's going to answer a certain prayer? Well, one way is right here. It comes from the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you say, okay, Lord, I want to know if this is something I can have faith about, something I can have confidence about, something I can ask in faith, believing that you're going to do it or not. So, Lord, how am I going to get that belief? That faith comes by hearing the Word of God. The more you hear the Word of God, pretty soon God starts to show you, aha, God does want me to ask for this. And then you start asking with boldness and confidence because something from the Word of God gave you that peace and that assurance. Some things, like I said, there are direct promises. Like when you pray for lost people to be saved, you could ask with confidence, because He willeth that none should perish, but all come to repentance. But other things, you have to study the Bible and get some Bible principles. Sometimes you'll be praying about something that's not directly addressed in the Bible, but the principles in the Bible will apply. I remember praying and asking the Lord whether or not He would have me come to Bethel Baptist Church. And actually, it was just a couple days ago, was 1 year from the time when I called Pastor Roland and said, okay, I believe the Lord would have me candidate down at Bethel Baptist Church and see if the people want us to come. It's been 1 year and a couple days now. So it's kind of neat. Can't believe it's gone that fast. I haven't been here a whole year, but 1 year since we told him we would come. Well, how did I know that? I'm not going to read in the Bible, thou shalt go to Bethel Baptist Church of Northport, Florida. Well, the Lord worked in my heart in a couple ways. Actually, two passages of Scripture. One was Abraham looking, or he sent his servant to find a bride for Isaac. And Isaac was looking for that bride. Well, you know, a church is called the Bride of Christ. And here that servant was looking for a bride, and here, Lord, I want to be your servant, and I'm looking for a church. Where do you want me to go? And in that passage, when the servant finds Rebecca, he says, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. He said, I just went where God wanted me to go, one step at a time, and it's like the Lord just opened up the way. And I got thinking about things, how I met Pastor Roland and how I found out about Bethel Baptist Church and just how the Lord worked out those circumstances. I didn't know Pastor Roland from the man on the moon until 2009 when we talked. I think that was the first time I heard from him. It might have been in 2008. I don't think so, though. You know, how could that be? Well, I was in the way, just doing what God wanted me to do, and He led me. I went to a church planting conference because I couldn't find a job in the summer. And here Pastor Roland was at the conference. And we talked about Bethel Baptist Church, and he told me about his vision for this church and how the Lord was moving him and transitioning him to a new ministry. And it was like, okay, Lord. And then after that, I'm praying about it, and then I read Genesis and the servant. And it was like the Lord opened it up from Scripture. Now, does that verse mean that everybody should go pastor Northport in Northport? No, but that's what it meant for me, because I was staying in the Word of God. Now, folks, if you stay in the Word of God, He will direct you and He will lead you based on the Bible. And you don't have to dream it up in the Bible. You don't have to, you know, plan things out and try it. Well, you know, maybe if I... No, the Lord will just open it up for you and you'll know it. Now, notice in that verse, Romans 10, it says faith comes by what? Hearing. You see, there's something special about hearing the Word of God. Now, yes, reading the Word of God is important. In Timothy, it says, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. It's very important to read the Word of God. But you know, Romans 10 says there's something special about hearing the Word of God. There's something special about the preaching of the Bible. Folks, we all need preaching. I'm the one doing a lot of the preaching around here, so you know what I do? I listen to preaching. I tune in to sermons that I can download on the internet and things like that, or listen to sermon CDs and things. I go to some meetings in other places and get preached at, because we all need preaching. There's something special about hearing the Word of God. And when you're searching for prayer and you want to know God's will about something, that's not the time to start missing church. Okay, that's the time to say, I need to hear more preaching, Lord. I'm making a big decision here. I've got to know your mind. I've got to know what you want me to do about this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So study the Word of God and be faithful to the preaching. Well, somebody says, well, wait a minute. I still have a little gap in my thinking here, Pastor Needler, because, I mean, what if it's something that really is not addressed at all in the Bible, and there's not going to be even any principles like you were talking about? Well, it's pretty rare, first of all. I think there's principles in the Bible for just about everything that we need to decide in our life. But the other way the Lord shows us how to pray is the whole topic of this lesson, in the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. You see, God's Spirit knows the will of God perfectly, doesn't He? We don't always know it perfectly, but God's Spirit perfectly knows the will of God. So as I spend time laying out my prayers before God, His Spirit can lead me about it. I remember as I was deciding and seeking the Lord's will about which Christian college the Lord would have me to attend. I knew it was right for a Christian to go to a Christian college, but I didn't know which one. And I remember I kind of narrowed it down to three based on the ones that I felt were really going by the Bible and taking a stand on godly Christian music and godly dress standards and all that kind of stuff. I narrowed it down to about three, and I just started praying. Well, I didn't really find anything in the Bible, thou shalt go to such and such a college. But the Spirit started laying on my heart one of those colleges above the others. And I said, now, Lord, is that really from You? Is that Your Spirit, or is that just me? And I just laid it out before the Lord day after day, actually month after month, actually for a couple years, because I started praying about it in 10th grade. And for a couple years, I just laid it out before the Lord. Lord, show me where You want me to go. And now, Lord, I think You're leading this way, but if You're not, I'll go wherever You want. But if You are, keep strengthening that desire. And if not, change it. And then I remember one day, a lot of times you can know God's will by the authorities in your life. I remember one day I laid this out before my dad. I said, Dad, I'm looking at these three colleges. And look, this one, here's the positives, here's the negatives. Second one, here's positive negatives. Third one, positive negatives. What do you think, Dad? You know, I know you're leaving the decision up to me, but what do you think, Dad? And he goes, well, Mark, I really think this one here would be the right one for you. And that was the one that the Lord was leading me about. And I was like, okay, Lord. Okay, You're showing me. And that was another evidence, another guiding along that God's Spirit directs as you pray. And it really is true. It's a wonderful thing. It takes time. But it's a wonderful thing when God's Spirit directs you. You say, well, I don't know if He would do that for me. If you're a son of God, He'll do it for you. Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So what should we do about all this? First of all, let's acknowledge our need of the direction of the Spirit when we begin our prayer times. Your personal prayer times, but also on Wednesday night, our church prayer times. Let's acknowledge our need. Let's take a moment and do that. Let's not just rush right in. And then allow the Spirit to prompt your heart as you spend time in prayer, laying out your request before Him. If you think of something you want to ask God for, go ahead and ask Him. Don't think, well, I don't know if I should ask or not. No, let Him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. Okay, so ask. But also be willing for Him to change that request if we're asking amiss. And He'll lead us. He'll lead us. Now, guys, we've had 5 Sunday nights now on how to pray. And we're learning a lot. But if we're not applying what we learned, then we're not making any progress. So let me challenge you. Maybe tonight before you put your head on the pillow, I know some of the teenagers are going to be up late. We're going to go watch the camp DVD from camp last week. So you might be up too late. But maybe tomorrow when you wake up, when you have your time with the Lord, try to apply some of the things we've been talking about. Look back maybe over your note sheets from the last couple weeks, or think back on the different things we've learned, and let's grow in our prayer times and our prayer life. It'll be a wonderful thing. All right, let's bow our heads. Father, I ask that You would be at work in our lives through this matter of prayer, and that we would not only talk about the leadership of Your Spirit, but that You would make it a reality to us here at Bethel Baptist Church. Lord, may we be a Bible-preaching, fundamental Baptist church who knows what it means to be led by the Spirit. Lord, if we just go off in our own thinking and our own minds, we're going to be in big trouble. But Lord, we take Your promise today. You told us to pray in the Spirit, so it must be possible. You promised that You would lead us if we would acknowledge our infirmities. So Lord, we ask that You would give us wisdom about how we ought to pray, about the requests and burdens that have been placed on our hearts. And Lord, even tonight, during this time of invitation, as many of us will lift before You some of those burdens, Father, I ask that You would hear and answer and continue to lead as we seek Your will in these different issues. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you look this way and